Again, it is good to be among you all today. There's some faces that have been here for quite a bit, and then there's some faces that have been out for a little bit but are back. Amen. No matter what your quote-unquote attendance is, we thank you for praising God first and foremost and tuning in to St. John, whether you are here or online. We thank you for just being dedicated. I say this because, you know, this is the Sunday after Easter. The Super Bowl's over. And, you know, just like when the Super Bowl is over, people tend to clear the stadium. Amen. But there's a remnant that will stay and be grateful for what the Lord has done and what he continues to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank you for those of you who were still in the stadium, and those who wanted to be in the stadium but could not be. And if you're online and not even able to be in this stadium at all, we just thank you, because whether you're watching this now or a year from now, God has moved in your heart to hear from him. I'm in particular in this message. And this message actually is going to come from the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, 139th verse, and we're going to be coming from we're actually going to be coming from the 19th through the 24th verses. It's actually what the entire scripture is going to come from, but in the interest of time, we're going to read just verses 23 and 24. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Everybody's faster than I am. Amen. Book of Psalms. 139th chapter, the 139th standard of Psalms. And what we're going to do is read verses 23 and 24. And they read as follows. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." And I would like to come from this subject, all this whining, all this whining. I was at work this week, and there was someone who was speaking with me. I'm on the side, and was talking about some of the issues that they were having, specifically some of the issues that they were having with God. And he, you know, expressed that he had, you know, some doubts and things like that. And, you know, I started to say, "Oh Lord, you know, I just preached on this. Amen." Start to feed here. But he mentioned something that was interesting. He said he was almost done even just talking to the Lord. Not necessarily because he didn't believe that the Lord would do anything. But honestly, he thought that, you know, with all of these questions that he had, with all of these doubts, maybe the Lord is just sick and tired of hearing. You know, some of us today don't like it when people just complain. All this whining, all this complaining, talking about the same stuff over and over. And in fact, I know that in my workplace, there are some people that just have actually said, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear any whining. I don't want to hear any complaining." And, you know, in my head, I understand their point, but then all they get is yes men. So you got people lying to you saying that your day is great when it's really not, but they don't want to tell you because you don't want to hear them whining, so they just lie to you, which happens. But unfortunately, you know, this individual was talking about saying this with God. He was saying, you know, he just doesn't want to hear all this. I'm just, you know, just wearing him down with this. And I thought that was interesting because last week, after I preached about doubts, I wondered if there were other people that felt this way. I wonder if there were other people who have had doubts, who have had questions, who have had some things that they feel like they need to work out with the Lord, or there's some situations in their lives that they just continually pray about, and some people just might be giving up. Not necessarily because they don't think God will do anything, but because they feel like if that was them praying to themselves, they would be tired of hearing it. So the question that I ended up answering with him is it okay to complain to God? Can you complain to God? And my answer, contrary to popular belief, was yes. It is okay to complain to God. So let me defend that answer. Why is it okay to complain to God? Why is it okay to complain to God? If you read the Bible from beginning to end, you're going to see that the Bible is full of a whole lot of complaining. It's full of a whole lot of whining, as we would call it. God, when are you going to do this? God, why don't you do that? God. But when you look at how God answers prayer, when you look at how God takes complaints, it's very interesting. He doesn't, I didn't read the verse in the Bible where it said, you know what, y'all just, I didn't read that verse. I didn't hear that verse where God's like, I am so sick and tired of y'all praying to me and I cannot stand it. Y'all talking to me way too much. I'm trying to have my own life here. I don't see that verse. If somebody sees that verse, let me know and I'll preach on how I'm wrong. But I don't see that verse. And in Psalm 139, what we see is David writing this psalm and talking about how intricate, how intimate God is with us, how much he knows us, how much he loves us. He formed us in our womb, and he knows the hairs on our head. That's what the vast majority of Psalm 139 is like. But then it turns to another complaint. And so, and generally today, I just want to bring up 2 points. One of the points that is in the psalm is that he already knows our thoughts. Okay, why is it okay to complain to God? He already knows our thoughts. You know, earlier I was saying that, you know, people don't feel like they want to hear complaining. They don't want to hear all that. And so we think that maybe God is the same way. We don't feel like he wants to hear all this complaining and whatnot. But guess what? He who formed you in your mother's womb, he who knows the hairs in your head, he who knew you before you were born, he who searches the minds and the hearts of all his people, guess what? He heard all your complaints before you uttered them, before you voiced them. He already knows our thoughts. In fact, this is kind of what David is alluding to. If you look at what he gets at, he goes through all of this. God knows me, and he's intimate with me. And then David starts spilling some thoughts he was trying to keep hidden. He says, verse 19, God, if only you would kill the wicked. King David? What? This isn't Christian. God, if only you would kill the wicked. You bloodthirsty men, stay away from me, who invoke you deceitfully. Your enemies swear by you falsely. Lord, don't I hate those who hate you? Oh, no. I know us Christians, like, we've never hated anyone in our lives. We've never have those feelings. Lord, don't I hate those who hate you and detest those who rebel against you? I hate them with extreme hatred. Goodness. Some of y'all like, should this even be in the Bible? I hate them with extreme hatred. I consider them my enemies. You know, if some of us could be honest, we've had some pretty nasty thoughts. Don't worry, I'm not expecting a whole lot of amens, hallelujahs, thank you, Jesus. You telling my story, Pastor. I don't expect much of that. Don't worry. But some of us have had some pretty messed up thoughts. And when you realize that God knows you and has foreknown you even before you were born, you start to realize, oh, he knows everything. I mean everything. Even things like this. He already knows our thoughts. So here, verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. What's interesting here, and Lord, help me with this point, because these are things sometimes when I preach to y'all, I'm still learning. But you know, David knows that God is already doing this. Why is he asking him? Why is David asking him to asking God to search his heart and test him and to see if there's any offensive way in him if he already knows? And I think what's happening is it's not as much as, here, God, you're going to find out about me. But I think this is what David's way of saying, Lord, here I am. Lord, I know you know me, but Father, if I had any permission to give, God, here's the permission, Lord. You have access to me, God. I'm open to you, God. I'm laid open and bare to you, God. And I think for some of us, we need to realize that the first step in healing is to admit that we have a problem. Admit to God that the thing that we've been trying to hide from him isn't working. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our concerns. He knows if there's offensive ways in us. Let's be real with the Lord and open ourselves up to him. Not so that he can get in, but so that we can allow ourselves to understand and accept that the Lord is working in us. Amen? But then David mentions another thing. It's not just that God already knows our thoughts. Why is it okay to complain to God? Not only does he know our thoughts, but he knows our needs. He knows our needs. David is spilling all of this hatred talk and whatnot because not just so that he can lie on a chair and just tell God all of his problems, but he knows that God can do something about it. He knows that God knows what he needs. And again, if we could reach verses 23 through 24 again, David says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me. And then what? Lead me in the everlasting way. See, David knows he's messed up. And he knows God knows he's messed up. But now he's asking for direction to lead me in the everlasting way. Oh, Lord, this is not in my notes. Here's the issue. There's a lot of us Christians that are comfortable being sinners. What do I mean? There's There's a lot of us Christians, and we just will define ourselves as, you know, sinners saved by grace. Amen. Hallelujah. But then we stay there. There's a lot of us Christians that know that we have an anger problem. But sometimes we get satisfaction in knowing that we've confessed to God that we have an anger problem. But we don't want God to actually do anything about it. Some of us know that we have an addiction. And we're comfortable expressing to God because he knows our hearts and he loves us. And he understands how this addiction happened. He understands the struggle that we're going through. And that's wonderful. But then we don't want him to actually do anything about it. And any good therapist, any good counselor will tell you, if they're just there to hear your problems, they're going to refer you out. Because clearly, what you're looking for is not help. You're actually just looking to feel justified about what you're doing. But here's where David is. He's saying, lead me in the everlasting way. God, I know I have all these hateful thoughts. I know that I hate my enemies with extreme hatred. I know that. What is the right way? I don't have the answer, Lord. Otherwise, I would have written it. What is the right way, God? Teach me how to move past this. Teach me how to love my enemies. Teach me how to get along when life gets hard. Teach me these things, God, because I don't know. But you know, and you know me, and you know the answer, and you know what to do, God. He already knows our needs. And I say this because, look, if Jesus can take the cross, he can take your complaints. Do y'all understand? Jesus Christ, he went on that cross for us. He bore all of our sins on his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He did it. He bore all of our sins. Do you know how difficult that is to do? Do you know how much pain he has to endure? Do you know how much he has to go through to deal with all of my mess? Just my mess? Yeah. Some of y'all don't have mess, right? So let me just talk about me. All of my mess? Jesus went on the cross for us. He endured all of the punishment that we should have gotten for us. And yes, Jesus died. And yes, he was buried. And on the third day, he rose up. What does that mean? That all of our problems couldn't stop him. That all of our problems couldn't keep him down. That Jesus is big enough and great enough and strong enough and compassionate enough and loving enough to take all of our problems. So if Jesus can take the cross, he can certainly take the complaints. And I say this because just as the guy I was talking about earlier felt that, you know, he just felt like he was just a lot for God. Some of us may be thinking that we're just done complaining. We've mentioned this for years and decades even. I'm not going to bother God anymore. I'm just sick and tired of bothering God. We think we are just too much for God. This is your word today. You are never too much. You are never too much for God. You are never too much for God. And this is just a quick side note, is that, you know, the Bible, well, Jesus actually taught that whoever has been loved much will love much. What you'll learn is that as when you realize that you can go to God in prayer, I mean, really, boldly, shamelessly, go to God in prayer with every single complaint because you know that he cares for you. So that's why we cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. When we know that we can do that for every single little thing, And God loves us because we're trying to just talk to him and give it to him. When we know that, it actually increases our tolerance for other people. It actually increases how much we can take from other people. That means when people can complain to you, you start to realize that complaints are not just something that takes away your day, but that they trust you enough to share with you something that is bugging them. And maybe it's not the complaint that's bugging them, it's what's behind the complaint. Maybe some people just need assurance. They just need assurance in life that things are going to go right. They're not complaining about the job. They're not complaining about the kids. What they really need to know is that God is there and that he is with them. Maybe some people need encouragement, that they're trying to do something and they just complain about how hard it is to do certain things. And you realize that because the Lord's the one that searches hearts and minds, the Lord reveals to you that they just need to be encouraged. That they are doing what the Lord wants them to do, and that he will not let their foot slip. He will not let them fall as long as they stay on the path that the Lord has given them, that he will uphold them with his mighty hand. Maybe they just need encouragement. Maybe some people just need guidance. I don't know. But when you start to listen to people's complaints, you start to understand that there is something wrong. That's what a complaint means. A complaint means that there's something wrong. Okay? And you start to understand, and God starts to reveal to you that there are some things that certain people need. Now, I do want to be clear. In some cases, and the Lord has to tell you that, in some cases, some people need to face the complaints, meaning that you don't have to hear it and take it every time because they're not doing anything about it. They're just using you as a justification for them being okay. And the Lord will reveal that to you, but sometimes the Lord might put you in that position to help somebody. I thank God because if I were the type of Christian I used to be, if that friend had come to me and told me that all of this stuff about the Lord, I'd be like, bro, just pray. And just pray, bro. Like, but I don't even feel like praying. Well, you know what? You just need to do it anyway. Suck it up. That would have been my old Christian answer. And I would have walked away feeling like I helped. But because God used me to help speak life and to speak his word into him and to spend time working through all of that, he realized that him complaining is not an indication that his faith sucks. His complaining is actually an indication that his faith is strong. He thought he didn't have any faith because he was complaining. It actually turns out he had faith because he was complaining. I told him, if you are still complaining to God, if you are still giving him all of your problems and just talking to him, that's a good thing. The problem is when you stop. The problem is when you don't give it to the Lord. The problem is when you try to bear your own burdens when Jesus already said, take my load upon you, for his yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the problem. So the very fact that you are complaining is not a source of sadness. It should be a source of joy. That God is willing to hear you. That God is willing to continue to love you in spite of. And that you are even passionate about the things that you're complaining about. You're complaining about your relationship with God. That means you care about your relationship with God. God knows that. And he sees that. Doesn't our God look beyond our faults and see our needs? God understands that. We go to God in prayer and complain about all these things, and he knows that we're lonely. He knows that we're discouraged. He knows these things, and he reassures us. And we would never get to that point if we think we are too much. We would never get to that point in helping other people if we think other people are just too much. The gospel is such good news, y'all. It is such good news. And what one thing the gospel tells me is that if Jesus can take the cross, he can take my complaints. He is never. I am never. You are never, ever, ever too much for God.